Hello and welcome to another Baseball America podcast, bogged down in semantics with Hudson Belinsky, that's me, and Josh Norris.
That's me.
Of Baseball America. Today we're going to talk about baseball.
In America.
In America. We're going to talk a little bit about the weekend games I just saw, and then we're going to kind of...
And one that I saw with you.
Oh, and one that Josh saw. Josh did leave his little nook to go outside and see some baseball in the beautiful Carolina weather we had today. So yeah, we're gonna just talk about baseball. So for Friday, I had the chance to see Michael Maduela for the third time in a 70-pitch outing against Duke. Maduela, obviously a candidate to be, you know, the top overall pick in next year's draft. We'll have a full write-up on the site on Monday morning. But you know, kind of more of the same for Maduela. Mid-90s, low to mid-90s, it moves, good changeup, flashing some really good breaking balls and command of it all. So, yeah, I mean, the story's pretty much the same there. We'll see how he progresses as he logs more innings on that arm and, you know, starts to pitch in warmer weather.
Two questions for you based on that. Of the three times you've seen him, which has been the best, and B, how are you going to deal with having to go 2 weeks without seeing him, considering he's going to play opening weekend at Cal?
It's hard to say. I would say probably last week. So the first time I saw him, he showed probably the most velocity we've seen from him thus far in this young season.
Which hasn't even started.
There is no off season in baseball, really. In terms of scouting, there's always something going on somewhere. So, first time we saw him 3 weeks ago, he was touching 96. Was not throwing his breaking ball at that point. Using it in warm-ups, but just fastball, changeup, and his changeup was really impressive that day. His second outing, he did have some issues commanding the strike zone and was getting squeezed a little bit, but again, the same kind of, you know, three pitches, and it's all really good. And then in his second inning that day, he was outstanding, throwing, just pitching off of this fastball, spotting on the corner, struck out the side on 10 pitches. But, you know, again, battling command issues that day, and then this past weekend, didn't show you any 96s or anything special in terms of velocity, at least for him, but mixing three pitches, getting people out, and, you know, showing more command than he had last weekend. So it's sort of been a little bit of a different story every time out thus far.
Before we go any further, I'd like to mention that people should go to the site. It's not only college baseball here we have covered, but Bill Mitchell out in Arizona saw Phil Bickford, the former Fullerton pitcher, and potential high draft pick again. This time around, he saw him in Arizona and wrote up a report on his outing. And he took a little bit of video, and that's there with him. And he's now either in or on his way to the Dominican Republic to watch the MLB showcase there with Ben Badler, our international guru, who's going to be there. So we'll have that covered. So he goes from Arizona to the Dominican Republic. He hustles, baby. He knows how to grind.
I'm jealous. He's got it covered. And Phil Bickford, sort of a, you know, one of the more interesting stories. It's kind of a year that's full of kind of uncertainty when you talk about those high-end arms, and you have, whether it be Bickford or Aiken or Maduela coming back off of the back issues, or now Walker Buehler going to miss his first start with some apparent arm issues. So there's a lot of mystery and intrigue when you're talking about those, you know, upper echelon of pitchers.
There's certainly no, I mean, even before all this, there certainly was no slam dunk number one this year. And I think even if there were, I think it'd be kind of foolish to name one in February.
For sure. So in Florida, though, we have seen the high school baseball season get started. And Brendan Rodgers has come out with a punch. Hitting a home run in his first game of the year, really impressing a lot of people, making more and more people believe he's going to stick at shortstop. So, you know, right now, I mean, if I had gun to my head, he'd be the guy I would say would be the top talent in this year's draft. But that's certainly not decided at this point.
It's 4 months until June. A lot of stuff can happen.
Yeah, for sure.
So yesterday, after you saw Duke, or is it, after you saw Duke on Friday, you went to?
I drove up into Southern Virginia and saw Hampden-Sydney College take on Ferrum State. I had gotten a tip on an interesting arm at Ferrum State. Not a high-end kind of guy, but a guy named Jake Perkins, who shows you just exceptional command, and he clearly didn't have his best yesterday, but a guy who will pitch in the upper 80s, has 92 when he needs it, sharp slider, workable changeup, projectable lower half, the kind of guy who has a little bit of instability in his stride foot right now, and you know, one of the biggest things in terms of projecting a pitcher is filling out that lower half and being able to stay strong and balanced throughout your delivery. So he's a guy who I can see adding, maybe even just getting to the point where he can sit at 92, but probably more of a relief arm in that there's not, he's kind of interesting. There's three pitches, but he's also 6 foot, and it's not the prototypical starter's build. But the mechanics are fine, I should say. Like, I don't mean to say they're not. They're good. They're very good mechanics, very simple, online, repeatable, very good athlete. So, you know, a guy who kind of fits in more outside of the top 10 rounds, but certainly an interesting arm to see at Ferrum State, a college I had never heard of before I heard about him.
So, from there, that was your game yesterday, and then you went to Longwood.
Longwood, yeah. Longwood was about 8 minutes away to drive, plus finding where the baseball field is, which always takes time. But I went to Longwood, got to get eyes on a number of talents, the most notable being Kyrie Washington, who's in this year's draft. Just got to see a couple of at-bats and got to see him throw from the outfield. He was playing left field, and I assume that's more of a function of their setup. It's kind of just a very wide, big left field at Longwood. So I imagine in pro ball he will be tried in center. But just he's the kind of the guy you'll take off the bus. He looks like, he kind of reminds me of like a Toby Gerhart type in terms of thinking about a running back that's just wide-shouldered, high-waisted, just power to him. And more power to him than there is quick twitch ability, if that makes sense. It's more power than quickness is what I'm trying to say. But exceptional bat speed. Definitely at this point still trying to get his timing down, but certainly a potential high-end guy if he hits well this spring, I should say.
I think that's the first of what will certainly be many Toby Gerhart references on the Bogdown in Semantics podcast. I certainly saw it coming. I didn't even see Kyrie Washington, and I thought, oh, easily Toby Gerhart. From what I've heard, it's easily Toby Gerhart.
He's Heisman runner-up Toby Gerhart.
Exactly. Stanford product.
Yeah.
And then I emerged from this nook you appear to have made up and joined you at North Carolina State this afternoon for their scrimmage with themselves, obviously. Brad Stone was on the mound for one of the teams, and he's going to be their Sunday guy this year, and he looked better than I remember him last year. Tell me what you thought, Hudson.
Yeah, this was my first time seeing Brad Stone, and I'm kind of curious where they're at in terms of their throwing programs, because I did sneak over there on Friday and got to see a couple of their pitchers go. They didn't really show what I was expecting to see, but Brad Stone, certainly a draft prospect, a very skinny, very projectable left-handed pitcher. It's probably about 6'3", 185, 190. But another one of those guys who's very thin in his lower half. sitting upper 80s, had 90 in the tank, would flash a very good curveball. Two breaking balls that kind of allowed him to pitch at three different speeds. Not much of a changeup at this point, more of a show-me pitch for me. But something that, you know, the changeup is really the easiest pitch to teach and develop of an arsenal. So certainly some projection there. I don't really know where he fits in the draft just yet, because I think there's more velocity in there even right now. I would imagine he's not very deep into his throwing program. There have been reports of him sitting 93, 94 at times. So we'll see if that's actually in there this spring. But, you know, high-end arm for sure.
Yeah, it was the curveball was a 2-7 breaker from what I saw. The only thing I noticed when I saw him was that a couple times I thought the arm slot was slightly higher on the fastball, and that's just something that kind of caught my eye that I wonder if hitters is gonna, if they're going to catch hitter's eye at some point.
It's possible. It's possible. I mean, the other thing is, at times you would see him slow down mechanically for his off-speed pitches. And now I'm actually getting in where I'm mixing up my pitchers. But, yeah, I mean, there's certainly issues there, and that's why he's, you know, he's a junior in college and not in his third year in pro ball. But, you know, there's some projection and definitely a draft prospect to monitor closely throughout the spring.
And if you follow North Carolina State, you know that they have Preston Palmeiro, who is the son of Rafael Palmeiro. But that's not the only big league star bloodline that they have on their team. They have a third baseman by the name of Joe Dinand, who is Alex Rodriguez's cousin. And I'm sure if you're listening to the Bogged Down in Semantics podcast, you've heard of Alex Rodriguez. He is a third baseman with the New York Yankees of some repute. Whether you believe it's ill repute or not, you have heard of him. And, you know, he looked really good today. I caught the end of batting practice, and he was hitting a ton of balls out to left field just to his pull side and was showing decent enough power to the opposite field. And in the game, his first two at-bats, he saw two pitches but hit two balls really hard and struck out, I think, in his next at-bat. Or no, that was his last at-bat. His third at-bat, he walked on four pitches.
Yeah.
But he was impressive, and he's a freshman.
Yeah, he's the guy who you see a lot of guys who will get maybe drafted in the later rounds out of high school, even more so, you know, given these new rules with the CBA. It's just so hard to sign high school players after the 10th round, unless you specifically planned for it. Right-handed hitter with power. You didn't get to see him tested too much defensively at third base, but his presence there has has made NC State make a few changes. They've moved Andrew Kisner behind the plate as a result of having Dinand at third, so that'll allow them two really, really promising bats in the middle of their lineup. Dinand took a mistake pitch, an elevated fastball, and drilled it into the wall in left center field. It was 370 feet at that point.
And if it's a regular-sized fence, it's a home run.
Yeah, it was home run distance, and it probably had another 15 feet in it. That's definitely a guy to watch, but he's just at this point, he's just so far away. But we'll have to keep an eye on him for sure.
And if you do get to see him, watch what he does between pitches. It is almost to the letter Alex Rodriguez's between pitch routine with the helmet tapping and the way he does just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of freaky if you know what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. And there's still some projection in the body. I mean, you think about how his shoulders are right now, that he could certainly add some weight to the top half of his frame. Pretty filled out physically in his lower half, but there may be even more bad speed there.
Another guy we saw that we liked a little bit, or at least I did, was the shortstop, Ryan Willard, who looks like a really smooth defender over at shortstop, and is going to do very nicely to step in defensively for Trey Turner over mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment.
Made a play toward the end of the game where he picked a ball and threw it on the line over to first base, showing exactly the kind of arm strength you need on an off-balance throw,
mm-hmm.
no less.
Yeah, I mean, he was solid today. At this stage, really just tough to evaluate where a guy like that fits in terms of the draft. We'll have to see what he can do against, you know, really advanced pitching. But he did hold his own today against some pretty solid arms.
We had a guy in the middle of the game, Tommy DeJunius, a right-handed pitcher freshman who was...
Yeah, we'll have to check on the pronunciation for him. I'm not sure if it's DeJunius or DeJunius.
There's an E and an A in there. So.
Yeah.
Either way, he was, no matter how you pronounce his name, he was 91, 93 with a lot of effort in the delivery, I thought.
Hey, he tries.
He does try.
A lot of effort.
He tries very hard. 91, 93, a little bit erratic. Despite that velocity, the NC State opposition didn't have a terribly difficult time hitting him.
Well, in his second inning, he was squared up. Hey, you mentioned the effort in the delivery, but it's also he's leaning back and showing the ball pretty early. So once you kind of get him timed, he's a guy who you're going to be able to hit. But in a relief role right away, he should have success this year out of the bullpen for sure.
Yeah, if he can start to command, he can be a weapon.
Yeah, and you know he was very inconsistent with his breaking ball, but I think in his first inning he threw four breaking balls, and I was ready to put 20s on three of them. But his fourth one was just an absolutely devastatingly late breaking ball, 79 miles an hour, creeping over through the back door, like extremely late death to it. So he shows you a 50 breaking ball and showing you 55, 60 velocity. Still some room to add weight to that body as well. A high ceiling guy, but yeah, again, more of a relief arm for them for now.
And then we saw everybody's dream, a pitcher come in wearing no number on the back of his jersey, and once we solved the mystery, it turned out to be...
Evan Braband?
I think it's Evan Braband.
Yeah. We haven't had the chance to research him too much this far, but... when I Googled him, his football page came up on the NC State website. A redshirt freshman, apparently, on the football team this year as a quarterback. But just the athleticism is pretty obvious on the mound. A guy with really good tempo, strong momentum out front, repeating the delivery well. Just raw arm strength at this point, and you know, a pretty physical frame.
It looks like a quarterback.
Yeah, 6'3", 220, 210 or so probably would be my guess. Worked very quickly. Sat probably 86, 89, scraping 90 when he needed it. Showing some cut, showing some sink at times.
Yeah, if these are wood bats, as I said to you, he's breaking a couple today.
Yeah.
The way he bore in on the... covered part of the handle a couple times on a couple hitters to, mm-hmm. To lefties.
Yeah, and he, I believe it was him who Dunand nearly homered off of. So when when he was living down in the zone,
no, that wasn't Dunand. That wasn't that one. That was his first at bat. Dunand's first at bat was the near homer.
I'm gonna bust out my trusty notebook.
Well, I've already got mine out. This is incredibly awesome podcasting right here. We have Hudson doing a live reading from his notebook.
I just put my notebook closer to the mic so you all can hear it.
If you know Blue's Clues, this is his handy-dandy notebook.
Exactly.
But it's not the handy-dandy notebook.
Exactly. So let's see. Dunand in the third, barreled one into the right center field gap. But Dunand, you're right. Dunand's first at-bat was against Brown. That was punished.
Now, so, what you just heard is the first, Hudson Belinsky admitting that I am right.
It has been a long time coming. I didn't expect for it to happen.
So yeah. Early?
Yeah, it's been almost a month that I've been here, so congratulations.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the Academy. You love me. You really love me.
Alright, so let's move on. Any other players that stood out to you? There's certainly a couple more for me.
I saw that the catcher, I guess in name, I don't think he caught today, Scott Manea, he hit a ball. he hit a hard single to left field. I don't think it was a great pitch. It looked like something that was either hanging or rolling up there. And he kind of did what he's supposed to do with it. Yeah, those are the guys that stuck out to me today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Manea, a guy who people knew about, was drafted out of high school from Massachusetts. I believe the Mariners took him in the 37th round. Yeah, just a solid all-around player. Doesn't exactly look the part when you see him, you know, walk off the bus, but does everything well. Did come in towards the end of the game to receive, and you know, again, he's a very solid receiver. And I think people get a little too into pitch framing these days, but this is a guy who can certainly make a lot of balls look like strikes, and you know, yeah, I mean, just very effective back there. Quick footed, athletic, but he doesn't, you know, again, doesn't look like he would be as athletic as he is.
So with the regular season upon us, I think we mentioned this on a previous Bog Down in Semantics, but you are going to start your weekend, your regular season in Wilmington, where you will see the University of Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
University of Wilmington, University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and Ball State?
Ball State and Richmond.
Richmond. I knew there's a fourth team in there because that's how baseball works.
Sure.
Then you'll be moving on to the College of Charleston?
No.
No?
I will be moving on to, I'll be heading down to Myrtle Beach to see Coastal Carolina. I'm not sure off the top of my head of all the teams that will be down there, but Maryland will be down there. So Maryland's a big-time target for me to see. I expect them to roll out arm after arm after arm. I won't be there to see them on Friday when they'll use Mike Shawarin, who is, you know, would have been a serviceable ace for them last year had they not had Jake Stinnett. But he's going to be their Friday guy this year, a guy who was, you know, had some interest out of high school in New Jersey. Low 90s, really good curveball. Very effective college pitcher at this point. Certainly has draft upside for next year, but just a sophomore this year. Some of the arms at Maryland, goodness, there's so many, even in the bullpen, especially in the bullpen, actually, when you think about left-hander Alex Robinson, who's going to have some command issues, but if he can show people that he's going to command the strike zone this year, he could be in that sandwich pick second round kind of mold as a left-hander reliever who will bump 96 with an above-average breaking ball. Drosner is another guy there. Willie Rios in the bullpen. Offensively, Anthony Papio or Mike Rossino. It's a loaded team at Maryland. And I believe it's been mentioned, probably not on our podcast, but on the Baseball America podcast before, Maryland this year preseason ranked the first time ever. Certainly a program on the rise, a lot of depth there. I'm excited to see them against some pretty quality competition down there in Myrtle Beach.
So from there, I think I'm going to be sticking around this general area. I'll probably catch Wake Forest, Georgetown, VCU, and I think there's another school that I'm missing at Wake Forest on either Friday or Saturday. Maybe stick around the area otherwise. Because I've got some other stuff to do around this area during that time. But yeah, I think that's my schedule for the opening weekend. I think we're going to have Mike Linnana at Eastern Carolina to check out the University of Virginia. And Eastern Carolina, University of Virginia, obviously has a lot of guys, including one of the best pitchers in college baseball, left-hander Nathan Kirby, who should be a very high draft pick this year if everything goes his way.
For sure.
Jim Schoner will be bouncing around somewhere.
Yeah, and we mentioned a little bit earlier the fact that Walker Buehler's having some arm issues, but another draft prospect at UVA, McCarthy, lefty swinger who's carrying tools as his bat, is going to miss some time with injury. I believe it's the first 6 weeks. I'm not sure if it's the first 6 weeks of the season or 6 weeks from
The announcement.
So he may just be 3 or 4 weeks into the season we see him back. But he'll be a guy for sure this year. And if he is, now he's just going to have to prove that he's healthy and going to be able to stay that way.
So beyond college baseball, what we've got going at Baseball America, tomorrow being February 9th, we have we're 10 days away from the release of the top 100 prospects, which will be done, half of which will be on the MLB Network, where you can see J.J. Cooper and John Manuel in Secaucus counting them down with the MLB Network crew. And then immediately after the show, you can go on our site and see the bottom 50. But it's going to be a very exciting time. I think if you've been on our site, you've seen a new video, kind of a new some new technology we've been playing with, where J.J. says the number one guy is either going to be Chris Bryant or Byron Buxton. So you'll have to tune in on February 19th to check that out. And if you want to read up on the top 100 prospects, you can go to our site, and you can order the Baseball America Prospect Handbook with Chris Bryant on the cover. It's available now at baseballamerica.com. They're shipping now. As a matter of fact, we're in the podcast nook right now, and Ronnie, the Iron Man of Baseball America, is in the back loading up even more prospect handbooks to ship out to customers who have already bought and those who will buy in the future. So that's what's coming up on that end. We've got some other stuff coming up. Spring training is around. It sounds like JJ is going to Arizona and I am going to Florida this year for spring training. So we'll have both sites covered. I think I'm going to start at Clearwater this year and see whichever Phillies make the quote A Phillies squad that day against the Canadian Junior National Team, which features guys like Josh Naylor and Demi...
Arimolay.
See, Hudson can say it way better than I can.
His full name is Oluwadimilade Arimolay.
I'm sure it is. You've obviously had a lot more time saying that name than I have.
A couple other prospects on that team. Austin Shields, a guy who's popped up more recently. 6'5", big-bodied, low 90s power arm. That'll be a big trip for him. He'll probably pitch twice down there, maybe three times. But a guy who has a chance to push himself up there and make himself a draftable talent in the top 10 rounds. Another guy is outfielder Miles Gordon, above average runner, just line drive stroke. That's an exciting team always. In a great scouting environment, getting to see them against minor league players and pro tools.
Yeah. Speaking of high school guys, we have our along with the top 100 prospects issue, which will be the next issue on newsstands. That's going to also have our high school preview issue, and we're in the process of taking a look at some of the best high school teams in the country. What is one that stuck out to you?
I would say at this point, North Florida Christian is one of the more interesting, with Cole Sands and Cole Riggins being the two arms there. And it's kind of crazy to imagine them having Carson Sands last year, a team that could come at you with those three, 1-2-3, as senior, junior, sophomore. Cole Sands, the younger brother of Carson, a power arm, a guy who's certainly in our top 100 for the draft. A guy who has a chance to do very well for himself this spring in terms of the draft and for North Florida Christian. And then Cole Riggins, at this point he's on a short list of the top left-handed pitchers in the 2016 class. So a team that's going to be very hard to hit at this point.
And the survey that jumped out to me was Jay Serra, Juniper Serra, in Los Angeles. And they have a lot of big-time D1 commits, including shortstop Chase Strumpf, a UCLA commit. And I didn't know much about him going into that, but I took a look at... I know he played for the Team USA 15U squad a couple years ago. And you look at the numbers, that squad went 11-0, and they hit 7 home runs that year, and Strumpf hit 5 of them. And I think he hit 487 and stole 6 bases in 6 attempts. So those kind of numbers against what I assume is pretty good competition jump off the page a little bit. And he and his his Jay Sarahs, will be at the NHSI here at the end of next month. So as part of what looks like a very, very loaded field full of excellent prospects.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of coverage of NHSI, and it's going to be a really exciting event this year. I haven't had the chance to get down to NHSI before, so it'll be my first time there. But several top 100 prospects, for at least from the list we most recently put out.
Seth Beer of Lambert High School will be there.
He's a 2016 as well. Ryan Johnson is going to be there. Joe Demers, Colby Allard is going to be there. Austin Riley is going to be there. It's a loaded event. I would imagine we'll see that event cross-checked by just about every team, and we'll probably see a ton of scouting directors there. It does fall on a weekend, so it does compete, you know, with the college schedules. I'm sure, you know, we're not going to see every scout in the country there, but every team is going to be bearing down on that event for sure.
Yeah, I mean, last year it was kind of nice, if I remember, because the Friday of that event coincided with NC State being home, so they could watch some NHSI games during the day and then go check out Carlos Rodon at night. I think he was against Miami that day. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how Duke's schedule aligns, but I'm sure that if they're home, there's a similar opportunity to go see Machuella after some NHSI action, go see Sky Bolt at University of North Carolina.
I mean, I don't know if it's been announced who the number one at UNC is going to be, but both draftable talents in Ben Moss and in Thornton, so there's plenty of arms in this area that are going to be targets for later in those days after NHSI. So it is, probably see a lot of people carpooling from Carriott to somewhere else.
Yeah, you can check off a lot of names during that for that couple days. What else do you want to talk about? Do you have anything else on your mind?
I mean, I guess we could talk a little bit about my subconscious experience.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about our subconscious experience. Oh, my goodness. It's so hard to get a read on him when he goes subconscious. We're actually talking about the sub shop right near North Carolina State. If you remember last time we did this podcast, we talked about barbecue. Now we're going to talk about sub sandwiches. Not Subway sandwiches, but sub sandwiches.
I don't think our sandwiches were made by an artist.
No, an artiste.
They were made by a sculptor.
But it was both at a restaurant with a pun for a name.
Yeah.
Subway and subconscious. How was your meal?
So I went with the classic chicken parm sub, and that's a meal that's hard to go wrong with. I mean, I would say mine by Northeast standards was well below average, just in terms of if we're grading out chicken parms, it was a 40. But in terms of a meal, it's a solid 50. A little too sliced up for my taste. Sauce was a little tangy. But, you know, again, you really can't go wrong when you're putting chicken, tomato sauce, and cheese together on a sandwich.
As someone who doesn't eat cheese, I would say you've already gone very wrong.
I mean, this is one of those things where you're just factually wrong. So there's no subjectivity to that. It's just wrong. But why don't we get to your meal? So I'm sure our listeners are very interested in that right now.
If you stuck around this long, you can probably leave now. I have a very refined palate, tested over years of eating only the finest meals. I had salami with tomatoes, onions, honey mustard, and garlic powder, and it was as good as expected. I don't want to do the 20-80 scale on food because that's silly. It was pretty good. So good, as a matter of fact, I had it for lunch, and then after the game, had it for dinner. So I liked it the first time, so I'll try it again. It was very good. I'm not gonna, you know, write home about it, because who does that anymore?
I've already started writing a letter home.
Ink, I saw him. He got out, he found a feather on the ground and got it loaded up with ink.
Dipped it into some ink.
Ink from a freshly caught squid.
It's just pretty much ready to go.
He's been singeing the edges of paper by candlelight in our house.
Yep, and Unfortunately, the post office is closed today, so we'll have to wait till tomorrow to see how that one unfolds.
With that, on that note, stick around next time for Hudson's Adventures to the Post Office on Bogged Down with Semantics. Thank you guys for the listen, and tune in next time.
Adios.